The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
My message this morning is about seeking the face of God.
Yes.
And I think it's extremely important that we understand that God desires His people to seek His face. I've been talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, that be us. Amen? Right? We are people called by the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Christians, little anointed ones. And when we recognize who we are, we recognize the power that we have in Jesus Christ. We recognize that we do have an anointing. I'm not just talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I'm talking about the body of Christ has an anointing to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The work that is supposed to be done in the kingdom work. So it's more than just what we think of as those who have been placed in pulpit ministry. It's the whole body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe God wants us to recognize that every day of our life, we are to be examples, we're to be salt and light, but we're to be more than just salt and light, more than an example. We're to show people by ministering to them that the power of God is available today in the earth, wherever we go. How many opportunities do we walk right by every day to pray for somebody that has a need? Listen, I've gotten to the point where somebody said, Pastor, or will you pray for me? Or no matter where I am, if somebody has a need, I work for my uncle part-time. It's become a full-time job, but it's part-time answering the phone for mobile home inspections. And from time to time, I'll come across somebody that will share things with me. It's amazing how people will open up to you on the telephone. You know, and tell you things about their life. And I get people who are sick, who are having financial difficulties, or going through all kinds of marital problems. I get those things on the phone, and I've gotten to the point where I just say, do you believe in prayer? And I've never had anyone, not once has anyone said, no, I don't believe in prayer. They've always said, yes, I believe in prayer. And that just opens the door wide open. I say, all right, then I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray right now. And they, you know, sometimes they stammer just, okay, you know. They're taken off guard with it. But I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me back and say, thank you for that prayer. God answered that prayer. God made a difference in my life because of that prayer. It's exciting. And I believe that's where God wants us throughout our life as believers, just to be open and ready to minister to people. We are all, and you know, we're not all evangelists who have the ability to lead somebody to the Lord through, you know, right on the spot. Not everybody has that. I believe we can all do it when necessary. It's a possibility. We can do that. We can learn to do it. But not everybody has that gifting. That is a gift. And I've known many people with a gift. This gentleman right here has that gift. To be able to just minister to people wherever he is and lead them to the Lord. You know? Leland. It's a gifting. But we all need to be able to. However, there isn't one of you in here that cannot or could not lay hands on somebody and pray for them if they have a need. Every believer has that anointing. Amen? All right, the name of, we just know the name of Jesus. So we talked about how important it is for us to recognize the name and who we are. Those people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We talked about the importance of humility, how we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and pray. And prayer is so important that we have prayer time. We set aside time to pray. Jesus said, go into your prayer closet and pray. And where is your prayer closet? It may be a closet in your home. I don't know. Lots of people have said that that's what they do, go into a closet and pray. My closet's not big enough. Tammy's got too many shoes in him. So I have to find other places. And a prayer closet is any place you can go. In reality, what the apostle was talking about was the prayer shawl that they have. We've got one right there. Have you ever seen pictures of the Jewish people praying at the Wailing Wall? Most of them have that. And they have it pulled up over their head, and they're rocking back and forth and praying. That's what they're in their prayer closet. They're alone with God. John Wesley's mother raised a whole bunch of kids. I can't remember exactly how many, 15 or 16, something like that. And John said, one of the things he said, that his mom would take 1 hour every day and pray. And the kids knew they wasn't to say a word to mama when she was praying. And she would take her apron and pull it up over her head and be alone with God. The only place she could go to be alone with God. But she prayed. And she, I'm telling you, her children made a difference. John and Charles Wesley. Charles wrote so many hymns. And John was the instrumental in the Methodist organization, Methodist movement. And I'll tell you, the Methodist back then is not the same Methodist we have today. They were filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, they were ridiculed because they showed emotion when they worshiped the living God. And let me tell you something. The problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today is we don't want to show any emotion. Gosh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to stop right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. We will talk about that. Hallelujah. All right, we know that we got to humble ourselves. We got to pray. And now we're going to talk about seeking the face of God. Seeking His face. Because it's so important to know that we seek the face of God. Moses, when he was about to die, and in Deuteronomy, in the fourth chapter, he is saying to the children of Israel, he's saying, listen, you need to hold fast to your faith in the living God and serve Him. Do not follow after the pagan gods. Do not allow yourself to worship idols. Hold fast to the living God. And he knows that things are going to happen in the future. He knows that down the road, he starts prophesying to them and telling them that you're going to leave God. And God is going to bring punishment upon you, and He's going to take you into a foreign land. This was things that were going to happen hundreds of years into the future. That's how we know this thing is real. Because there's been prophetic utterance written in here that took place hundreds of years into the future after it was written. Some of it is so prophetic that the naysayers want to say, well, that couldn't have been written when it says it was written because it's too accurate. They're just a bunch of liars who are trying to deceive. The truth is we have documented proof. This word was written when it says it was written. And God is alive today doing the same kind of things that He did in the New Testament. And some of the things He did in the Old Testament. But there was more power in the New Testament. Amen. All right, Moses was telling the people. He said, you are going to be taken into a foreign land. And then he tells them. Now this is good because we got to understand that no matter how far we get from God, God will hear us when we cry out to Him. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. If you, but from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him. Look at that. Look at what it's saying. You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him. But there's a contingency that goes with it. If you seek Him with all your heart and soul. Heart and soul. Seek the Lord with all your heart and soul. That is what we must do today if we're going to see revival in the land. We got to stop seeking God just when it's convenient. We've got to begin to seek God with all our heart and all of our soul. The heart there, the Hebrew word, means the inner being. Soul means the living being. So basically he's saying, you seek God with every fiber of your being. Let me tell you something. There's probably no one in here any more reserved than I have been in the past when it comes to worshiping God. I didn't want to raise my hands. I didn't want to draw attention to myself. I didn't want to clap. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to, I didn't want to be seen when I was in a service. And yet the Spirit of God through the years began to speak to my heart and begin to pour an unction in me to worship God. And you know how hard it was for someone like me to raise their hands in a service? But yet, if I'm not willing to raise my hands, am I really worshiping my God? You know, we say, well, I worship God with my heart. Look, I have two little grandsons that love me. And when they come to church, usually they come with their parents, and they know that Papa's here. They seek me out. And they come running up to me. And they hug me. They put their arms around me. And they say, Papa, we missed you. Especially that youngest one. The older one usually comes up and hits me. But yeah, that's a love tap. I want you to understand. But that little one, he just, I love you, Papa. He seeks me out. Now, what would it be like if those two came around? And they did, you know, they just gathered around me. And they stood around and they meditated on the inside to show me how much they love me. Isn't that ridiculous? I'd say, what's wrong with you boys? I think that's what God's saying to us. What's wrong with you people? Aren't you able to show some emotion when you worship me? Is there really anything on the inside if you're not able to worship the living God? Seek his face. Listen, and it took me some time, and I'll give you all grace. I want you to understand, there's grace in the kingdom of God, but you got to be progressing in the kingdom. You've got to, somewhere along the line, you got to get that hand up. Amen. You know? And I want to tell you something, once you get that you may just go up like this. You know? It's okay. You know, growing up in the churches that I grew up in, one of the things, they were absolutely against speaking in tongues, but anything else would go. Preachers sometimes would get so fired up, they'd run across the tops of the pews and just glorify God. Now, I mean, you don't do that unless you're doing it under the anointing, because you're going to fall and bust your buns and other things. They worshiped God. I learned that was okay. But yet, it was hard for me. And God wants his people to understand that he wants us to show some emotion toward him. One of the criticisms of the charismatic church is, well, we're just too emotional. Well, let me tell you something. The churches that criticize the emotion are sitting around with frowns on their face because they don't know how to get to God. They can't find him. I'm telling you, if I feel love toward my wife, I'm going to show that love. It's going to be a physical thing. If not, she wonders, you know? I can't say, well, you know, I told you and I showed you when we first got married. That should be enough. Doesn't work that way, does it? God requires us to seek his face and to have some emotion in seeking his face. In the 1700s, there was a man by the name of David Brainerd was his name. Took me for a minute to remember. David Brainerd. And David Brainerd was ministering to the Native Americans. And as he ministered to them, for years and years, and nothing really happened. And he sought God and he cried out to God for these people because he knew that they needed salvation in Jesus Christ like all people need it. And he had a passion for them. And he really desired God to move. And then in 1745, a few of the Native Americans that he was ministering to, they were the Delaware Indians in New Jersey, came to the Lord. And then a few more. And then the floodgate opened and that whole nation became baptized and saved in the name of Jesus Christ. All because one man sought the face of God on their behalf. What more can happen when a congregation seeks the face of God in a community that needs Jesus as their Savior? A community that's lost and dying, a community that's overrun with drugs and alcohol and all the things that go along with it. Marriages being destroyed by the enemy. What more can happen when God's people become real with Him, get close to Him? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hallelujah. Every fiber of your being. And I got to tell you, people, I'm part of it. I'm not criticizing you without saying, hey, I'm just as guilty. We're not seeking God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We're seeking sports. We're seeking television. We're seeking recreation. We're seeking all these things, these toys. We're seeking after material things. That's where the church is today. We get on our face before God to see things happen. And we don't have much time. I truly believe it is time now for us to do this and get serious about it because there's not much time. God warns His people over and over again that it's time to get serious about me or something horrible is going to happen. He doesn't want to bring some kind of destruction to us. He doesn't want to bring some kind of condemnation upon His people. He loves us. He wants us to come to Him so that He can stop that stuff from happening. In the book of Chronicles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 14. Begin with verse 2. I just want to start right there and then I'll explain some things. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now, he was a king of Judah. Now, in order for us to understand Judah, I just want to explain some things real briefly. Go back in history. Please bear with me. If you know all this, that's okay. But there's probably some in this congregation that do not know the history. So you have to understand that God chose Abraham. And Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, really. His son Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was blessed by deceiving his father to be the one to receive the inheritance, but it was all God's plan, even though he did it the wrong way. And Jacob had a face-to-face encounter with God. He wrestled with God. And God changed his name from Jacob, supplanter or deceiver, to God. God reigns, I believe it is, Israel. And with his name changed, he had 12 sons. And those 12 sons became the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? David became king of Israel and was a mighty king. and served God. His son Solomon came along, and God blessed him because he began to serve God. He cried out to God. He asked God to give him wisdom because he didn't have the wisdom to judge this nation. And God gave him mighty wisdom because he didn't ask for things, riches. He didn't ask for stuff. He asked for wisdom to do what was right in the sight of God. As he progressed in his life, he turned from God. Main problem was women. Been a downfall of many a man. Many a good man. He loved women too much. He had like 700 wives, or 300 wives, I think, 700 concubines. And these women served other gods. And this was the problem. God told him, do not take wives from these nations around you. But he did it anyhow, and they led him into idol worship. So God, when it came to this point in his life where he had turned away from God, God said, I'm going to bring judgment upon you and the nation. But I'm not going to do it until after your death because your father David served me. And when Solomon died, the kingdom was split. Rehoboam, his son, took part of it. Jeroboam took the northern nations, the northern 10 nations. The northern nations were called Israel. Now, I'm going through all this because I want you to understand where we are when we talk about Judah. Israel, the northern nations were Israel. The nations of Israel did not serve God almost from the very beginning. They turned from God to evil idol worship. Now, there's a couple kings here and there that tried to serve God, but nothing like Judah. The southern kingdom was Judah and Benjamin. That's where Jerusalem, the temple was. They served God from time to time. Good kings like Asa, Jehoshaphat, Josiah, there were several others. From time to time that God would raise up because they were from the lineage of David and they knew what it meant. They were called Judah. Now, the reason they were called Judah is because they were the tribe of Judah, but Benjamin was a part of that. Down through history, the people who held on to their religious traditions, their Jewish, what we call Jewish religious traditions, because the tribes of Judah were more devout than the tribes of Israel, were referred to as Jews. That's where we get that terminology. Today, anyone who is an Israelite is referred to as a Jew. But the reality is that when it was first used, it was people who were serving God under the Old Testament religious ordinance. So that's where we get that terminology. But Judah had chosen at times to serve God. And Asa was a good king, it says. And he did away with the idol worship. And he came to God. And he wanted to worship the living God. And then there was peace in the land for a period of time. And then suddenly, it says here in verse 9, then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marisha. 1,000,000 men. Can you imagine? Look, little Judah and Benjamin, they were a small nation. And 1,000,000-man army came up against them. When you get in a situation like this, it's not time to pray wonderful, devout, magnificent prayers. When you get in a situation like this, you do exactly what Asa did. You cry out to God. They surrounded him, and he knew exactly what he had to do. He cried out to the Lord. And Asa cried out to God, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rest on you and your name. We go against the multitude, O Lord. You are the God. Do not let man prevail against you. Hallelujah. We are in a time right now where we just got to get before God and say, God, we can't do anything, but you can. We've got to get to the point where we recognize it's all in God's hands. We can't make any changes. Only God can make the changes. What we have to do is make some effort to get to the face of God. Seek His face. And here's what happened down in verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah the son of Obed. This was after they went out. God caused a great victory to come to Judah. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Church, this is the same thing happening in our society. If we will seek God, he will be found by us. See, it's exactly what he told Moses. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how corrupt the society becomes. If you will turn to God, if you will seek me, you don't have the responsibility to change things. I will do that, but if you will seek me, I will do it. You will find me.
Yes, sir.
You'll be able to find who I am. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I believe it's time for us to seek the living God.
Yes.
Seek him with all our heart, our soul, and all our mind. In the book of Habakkuk, he is a prophet to Israel. It's actually Judah. And he was prophesying to the nation right before the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. And he's crying out to them to change their direction. God will hear you if you will seek his face, and he'll keep this enemy from coming in. The Babylonians are coming, and if you don't do something about it, they're going to overtake you. I'm sad to say they didn't listen. But he's told them this would happen, and he cried out to God himself. And I believe it's something that we need to understand, that we should be crying out to God exactly like this. Here's what he said in chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of years. And in the midst of years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, it's a little hard to discern exactly what he's saying there, but let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, God, in the past, we have seen your mighty hand move. You can do it again today. And when you decide wrath should come upon us, please remember mercy. We need that prayer today. We need, God, you have moved mightily in our past. There has been great awakenings. Even before this nation became a nation, there was a great awakening that swept across the colonies at that time. And then there was a second and a third. There's been great waves of revival that have come into this land. And every time during that period of time, the nation was in big trouble. People were turning from God. They were living according to their own pleasure, their own lust, their own desires. And yet, there was a group of people that made a decision to seek God. And God made some changes. Not because they could make any changes, but because the Spirit moved on behalf of the people who got serious about Him.
Yes, sir.
Time after time. Glory. Pastor Otis made mention this morning of the woman with issue of blood. It's a great example of what we're talking about. She couldn't heal herself, but she knew the one that could. And she pressed through the crowd. You know, she wasn't even supposed to be out there. It was against the Levitical law for her to be in a crowd, in public, because of the problems she had. But she didn't care. She was so desperate that she pressed through that crowd to just touch the hem of his garment. It's probably that prayer shawl, one like that. She got a hold of it because there's healing. Healing in it. And virtue went out of the Lord. Listen, that's what God is calling for us today. Press through. Press. And let me tell you something. It's not going to be pleasant to your flesh. When we call for prayer meetings, times of prayer and fasting, which we're going to talk about, and we're going to get to the point where we're going to do this thing, it's not going to be pleasing to your flesh. Your flesh is going to cry out. When we call for times to come in here and pray and gather around to seek the Lord, your flesh is going to say, I don't want to spend time doing that. But it's the only thing that's going to cause God to move according to everything that we see in the Word of God. We have to press through. We have to press through our flesh. We have to press through our desires. We have to press through the things that we want to do to reach the face of God, to touch His garment, the hem of His garment. If we're going to see the power of God released, it has to happen. So we have to press through. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Ushers, if you would. If you go out and get to the kids and have them come back in. As we move into this morning, I just believe this is the beginning of this congregation pressing through, getting through to God. Listen. Revival is not going to come because of us. It comes because we're willing to seek the face of God. It'll come through us, but not because of us. I am convinced, everything that I've ever studied, you can't revive yourself. What we need is a supernatural experience with God, and it only comes when we press through. God is the one that revives. We need an experience like the guy that was dead. They threw his body in on the bones of Elisha. And as soon as he hit those bones, there was supernatural power there, brought him back to life. He jumped up. Had nothing to do with him. He couldn't raise himself from the dead. It was the power of God. And when we press through, we press into the presence of Almighty God, we will be revived. And God is the one that will do it. God will stir our hearts. He'll stir our spirit. I can stir you emotionally at times, but that won't last very long. Usually it lasts about as long as you walk out these doors. You know? We have great services from time to time here. Well, I think just about every time. Amen. But it's not the kind of revival that we need. We need real revival that will stir our bones, that will get inside of us, and it will sustain us week after week after week. Real revivals in the past that took place when God's people got serious about God and turned, went to God, and God revived them, and it moved out into the community. And the community began to run to the power of God. And the nation was changed in the past because of that. It sustained our people for years after that. Emotion can't sustain us. A feel-good message can't sustain us. Even an anointed message can't sustain us. Only the Spirit of God can sustain us and cause us to be revived. We need revival. Amen. Please stand with me. We're going to worship God. The altar is open if you want to come up. We're going to hear from God this morning. We're going to seek His face. Seek His face and seek His face till we find Him. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.